This is the PC Gamer Podcast, episode 109 for December 22nd, 2007. Welcome to the Thanksgiving show. I'm your host, Dan Stapleton, and I'm with me today are our senior executive editor, Chuck Osborne. Senior editor, Logan Decker.
Howdy, Pilgrim.
I expected some kind of animal noise. That's disappointing.
That was good.
Time and time again, I get disappointed.
Oh, Pilgrim.
Norm Chan, our Killing Box columnist.
Oh, seems just like minutes ago that we were recording our last podcast.
No, it was a week ago, really.
Yeah, what are you talking about? It's Thanksgiving Day today, Norm. That's why we're all covered in turkey.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Whoa, you too? And, I was wondering how that happened.
And Jeremy Williams, our producer.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
So today we are doing a Q&A episode. So we've got a bunch of backlogged questions that we don't always get to, try as we might. So, Jeremy, cue up the first listener question.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hi, my name's Simon. I've been listening to your podcast at work. And I wanted to say something about Crysis having settings on it that are too ambitious for today's hardware. You guys have been disagreeing a bit amongst yourselves about whether or not it's a good thing, and I thought I'd like to articulate in a clear fashion why I think that's really not such a good thing. As a PC gamer, a lot of the fun of playing games is actually from getting my PC all tweaked out, getting the very best video card, making everything just so, going into the BIOS settings, tweaking all my clock speeds and whatnot. And the reward, the realization of all that effort is that I get to crank everything up to the top. And I love cranking everything up to the top. Even before I play the game, I go and I set everything up, and I feel really great about myself. And Crysis makes me feel like something's wrong with me. I don't get that sort of satisfaction. And so right away, I'm a little bit put off from it. Not everybody is that way. Probably most people are not that way, but that's definitely a PC gamer thing.
I mean, we had this discussion on our podcast forums, and Jeremy, you accused me of feeling inadequate for my system.
Yes.
And that sounds like how this guy's feeling. But I refuted and said, it's not that at all. I want to enjoy the graphics, not to justify my tweaking skills or what I have on my system, but I want to enjoy highest graphics because I love tech demo type things, and I want to see what's possible.
But I mean, I think another way to look at it, though, is that this game will allow you to experience that multiple times. I mean, you get to play it on the highest practical settings. Say you play it on high, and it looks great, and you play through, you have a good time, and you get the achievement of your computer can play this game that is crushing a bunch of people's systems on high, and then a little ways down the line when you upgrade, you get bragging rights again because now you can play it on highest.
Well, it totally is. A bragging rights thing for this guy, I think, from what it sounds like. And it sounds like, for him, he would be happier if Crysis didn't have the very high settings, if that was, a secret, and if Crytek released that, 6 months later, as a patch, as a higher texture patch, or as a, upgraded detail patch.
I think that's the wrong way. Which is what they did with Far Cry.
Did they do that with Far Cry?
Did they?
Yeah, they did do that with Far Cry, because remember, there was a higher setting patch that they released for that after the game's release.
Huh. I didn't play it for a little while until after it came out, so I may have missed that.
I think this actually reminds me of what we were talking about right before we started taping this podcast, because we were talking about the Heroine Hero game that was on the South Park episode, and it's like this guy's trying to chase the dragon, and he's never going to catch it right now, because no matter how much he tweaks his system, he can't get it as high as he wants to play the game. He'll never be able to play it on the highest setting.
I think it's just kind of a odd thing to do. I mean, I agree with you. There is a sense of achievement there, but I mean, just having that so easily achievable, it takes something away from it. I mean, if it's something that you can't do right away, then it's a bigger achievement down the line.
I think it was well put when you said this game can push your system to its limits twice or more than once, because that's exactly what it does. Because if you play on high right now, and I can do that on an 8800 GTS, it looks like the best game I've ever seen. And so it's giving me that satisfaction of playing, the, you know, pushing my system to its limits beyond anything else that's come before at a better frame rate than Oblivion, you know, and Oblivion was supposed to be the best looking game ever. Just because it has these higher settings, that's kind of superfluous. I mean, it shouldn't make a difference. I think every game should have a setting beyond the current system limits.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, if they have those assets, I mean, a lot of the time they create textures at a higher resolution and have to scale them down to work with present day hardware because they overshot. So, you know, if they just included that, I mean, that just adds value to the game.
But I do kind of agree with this point, though. It seems like it would have been better if they had released this as a patch when, you know, better hardware is available that does support those settings becomes available. So that you don't kind of feel like, you know, you're not able to play the game the way it's meant to be played.
I mean, I can see that point. It just it doesn't work that way for me personally.
This is just too console-y for me.
That's too console-y?
Yeah.
It's interesting. This is a PC problem exclusively.
Right, because consoles have standardized hardware. They never will get better
right.
until they release a new console. So, I guess, you know, from that standpoint, it's like if you expect everything to work at maximum settings, you know, right out of the box on day one, then that is kind of a console thing. Although with PCs, it's not the same thing because he has gone to all this effort to get his PC as fast as it can possibly be with the hardware he has. Whereas console players just buy it.
Now, the point has been made that you can play at very high settings at a great frame rate if you're willing to spend $6,000.
I suppose that's true. And therein lie the ultimate bragging rights.
Exactly.
What's up, PC Gamer? This is Oliver calling from San Francisco. I have a hardware question about upgrading my PC. I'm thinking about upgrading from an AMD dual-core processor and a 1440x900 resolution monitor and an 8800 GTX to a quad-core Intel processor, two 8800 GTXs in SLI, and a monitor with a resolution of 2560x1600. I was wondering which of these upgrades I should get first because I want to know which one is more relevant right now and which one I would need right now the most. And also, you know, considering price drops and if there's anything, you know, coming in that I should probably wait for before I buy something. I was also wondering if it's necessary to upgrade or if I should upgrade all the way from my 1440x900 monitor to a 2560x1600 monitor, or if I should just upgrade to a 1920x1200 monitor, because I don't know. I heard some stuff that actually it makes text and whatnot look worse if you have like a really high resolution. So I was wondering about that. So keep up the great work, guys. Love the podcast.
Wow,
the high resolution monitor isn't going to make your text look worse, but it is going to
make it smaller.
Yeah,
it's
going to
make it smaller. Here's the thing with the high resolution monitor: the text will be smaller because the DPI is higher. But there are settings within Windows where it can increase the DPI of text, so text always appears bigger relative to the size of the monitor.
That's inconsistent program to program.
It is inconsistent program to program, and the biggest problem is that with a 2050x1600 monitor, you're not going to be able to run most games at that resolution at, you know, max settings and at smooth 60 frames per second.
Although he is talking about two 8800 GTXs in a quad core, so if anything can do it, this can.
Exactly.
Yeah, not all games will even support
not
that.
All games support that resolution. Some games you might have to hack it. Some games the max resolution for most games right now is 1920x1200, and that's
really nice sweet spot.
It is a really it's an excellent sweet spot. The thing is, if you're thinking about getting a 30-inch 2560x1600 monitor, you want to check how it scales from other resolutions to that monitor size. Some monitors won't look so well, so great if you don't play it at the 2560 by 1600. The Dell ones, though, and the Gateway ones, I think both those 30-inch models do have really great scaling.
Yeah.
Well, it was okay. I played around with the Dell one for a few weeks, and it looked good, not great.
I think
Dell monitors scale fantastic.
Yeah. I guess I don't have
Dell
a whole lot to
compare
it to.
Both stellar in that regard.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot to compare it to. So yeah, it doesn't look nearly as good as it does at its native resolution.
Right. Keep in mind he is running SLI, so he won't be able to use more than two monitors. Only be able
more
to
than
use
one
monitor at once. So going with the 30-inch 2560 by 1600, getting that extra desktop real estate is really useful when you have a lot of programs open or a lot of icons.
This kind of thing can be really subjective. Like I know DJ games on a 42-inch monitor at home, right?
Yeah, but it's 1080p.
Okay, but it's still
it's only 1920 by 1080.
It's still huge. Yeah. My problem with the 30-inch was that it was too big. So, I mean, I can't imagine a 42. I actually bought the 30-inch monitor that this guy's talking about, and I just ate the shipping cost and sent it back because it was
really?
Too much for me. And I went down to the 24-inch, which is the 1920 by 1200. Thank you, yeah, by 1200. But
Norm, are you using the 27?
I am using the 27.
How do you
27
like that?
Is I love it, and it's I was using the 24 inch before, and they both have the same resolution. So actually, the 24 inch is better pixel density, but 1920 by 1200 on the 27 inch is what I like running my games at. And even though it's not as high resolution as 2560 by 1600, I can't notice the aliasing that much.
I personally recommend the 24 inch with a secondary monitor. Anything it'll do. I use a 19-inch.
But he can't because...
But he can't if he's doing SLI.
If he's doing the SLI. But I would say, don't do SLI. Just go with one GTX card, do multi-monitors at the 1080p size monitor. You're going to get great frame rates in almost every game.
Well,
now,
if he has two SLI cards.
Yeah, his question, though, was specifically, in what order should he get these parts? Now,
was the original video card again?
He has one 8800 GTX, and he was going to get a second one. Now he was wondering, do you get the second 8800, or do you get the quad core chip over the dual core chip?
I
think that's probably the way to go, just because the price or the performance gains you get for the second 8800, yeah, and it increases your performance by what, 50% tops?
It's never as much as people hope it to be.
Yeah,
I mean 15%. Maybe
15? Really?
No, it's like
it's
20.
It's
got to
be better than 15.
Mm-hmm.
The new drivers have improved.
I think it probably depends on the game's optimization for SLI.
Yeah.
But it's never more. I mean, 50% is the top you can expect from that. 50% performance gain.
Plus, the new CPU will affect your entire Windows experience.
Yeah, right. And that's a huge plus. You'll notice that no matter what you do.
And more.
Although,
and more games,
again, not many applications are
right.
Optimized for quad core either, but then
but
I do a lot of video
games
editing.
Are
there games that are optimized for quad core right now?
Oh, absolutely. Crysis is. It uses the third and fourth cores for what they call frame rate stabilization, which I'm not exactly sure what means, but it sounds good.
it sounds fantastic.
Sounds great. Yeah.
Frame rate stabilized? Why yes.
Yeah. The way Savat explained it was just to make sure you have a smooth frame rate the whole time, which I don't know exactly how that works, but if they say what he really emphasizes is the jump from one core to two core is significant. The jump from dual core to four cores is less significant, but it's there. I think Call of Duty is optimized for quad core. And I know that Supreme Commander is. So that more and more going forward, games are going to be more and more optimized for more than two cores.
So verdict, CPU first.
Yeah. Although there is that little quibble how the CPUs, the quad core CPUs are generally clocked a little bit slower than the dual cores. So if the game is not optimized to use all the cores, you're actually getting less performance out of the quad core than the dual core.
But also, all the Intel ones are also very overclockable.
Right. But, that you got to make sure you've got proper cooling and everything, so yeah, be careful of that. So I guess the correct order of operations there would probably be, because he also had the monitor in there, would probably be chip, monitor, second card, if you want to go that way.
Yeah.
All right, that's our hardware question for the month.
Yeah, we would love to be able to help. We would love to be able to help everybody with their PC builds, but they're also, you know, specific that if we took all those questions, it would take up all of our time.
Hey, PC Gamer, it's Blake. I was just wondering, you guys talk a lot about Portal and how great it is. I haven't really played it at all, but, you know, I have played the Portal, the Flash version on, you know, a couple Flash sites I've seen around on the internet. And I was just kind of wondering what you guys thought of that, if you think it's a little, if it's faithful to the actual Portal. About that. Thank you. Bye.
Whoa. What happened there?
I don't know. Bad call. I played the Flash game, and I found it to be a really nice kind of, I don't know, drug once you finish Portal, and you still need some more. I went to the Flash game, and I just ate it up because I couldn't get enough of that style of gameplay.
Chuck appears to be playing it right now.
Well, I'm trying to download it.
Okay, so I think what makes Portal magical isn't so much the game mechanics as the story and the characters in the game.
Well, I think it's a little from column A, a little from column B. The game mechanics are awesome.
Yeah. But if, I mean, the Flash games will not be an adequate substitute for the Portal experience.
No.
Right. The story is amazing and should be experienced. And especially if you dig a little Flash game based on it, you're gonna.
And you know what? If you don't have any interest in Team Fortress 2 or Half-Life, just pick up Portal by itself. It's $20 on Steam.
Is it 20 or 30?
20.
20. Yeah.
TF2. Okay.
So that's a pretty good deal for Portal. I would pay $20 for Portal easily. Although I would definitely rather have the whole package.
All right, here's a little intermission interlude.
Welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. Yeehaw! Actually had a great time living with Gary. Naked in bed.
Just two guys.
We were both pretending to be straight.
Now that we've called sexuality into question.
I think I was trying to say something about the duality of man, sir. PC Gamer Podcast is an internet trendsetter.
Yeah,
we are. We're blazing a trail.
What we're spanking it to this week, the rest of the internet spanks it to 3 weeks later.
A little blast from the past, I guess.
Who's that guy that kept talking?
I don't know.
Yeah, I recognize Gary. I think I heard sounded, some Justin, some Dan.
You sound vaguely familiar. I can't place the voice, though.
I didn't hear anything. Hello, PC Gamer Podcast. This is Canoe from Ontario, Canada. Just wanted to know, with the release of Crysis, if it would ever come out on console systems. I'm a PC gamer, and I'm really interested in knowing why it was not released on console. Thanks, guys, and keep up the great work.
Because the PC is the best platform ever. And if you were a real PC gamer, you would need to ask.
No pussy console can run it.
You know, I have a feeling that it will show up on consoles eventually, but it's not going to look nearly as good as it does on a really high-end PC.
I think initially they were saying that they were doing things that a console couldn't handle in memory and things like that. I mean, and you know, Far Cry in its purest form never actually showed up on consoles. They did Far Cry Instincts on consoles.
Really terrible port of Far Cry.
Right. And that wasn't a port. It was a different game. It was done by Ubisoft Montreal, and instead of in Far Cry, you never had any kind of powers, but they did this kind of weird like animal powers kind of thing, which wasn't very good, and you know, it didn't have the openness that Far Cry did. It was very linear.
Well, I don't know. You know, I can't speak for Crytek, but because Crysis is a game for Windows games, it has to support the 360 gamepad. So there are 360 controls there. I think we've talked about this in the past. And I tried playing through some of the game with a gamepad and it's not having fun. It was not intuitive. It was hard to move around.
Is it really any harder to use than any other shooter on a gamepad?
I think, yeah, because the game is, Crysis is specifically designed for fast, I mean, reactions with a mouse and being able to switch powers
natively. Well, so is Doom.
Natively.
So is Doom and Quake and everything else. I don't see how it would be any harder than any other console any other shooter to play on a console.
Well, like shooters like Gears of War, which were developed with the console in mind, are easier to play with a gamepad.
It's just foolishness.
I think it probably has a lot to do with how well it sells on PC. And given that it was on your foot level shelf at EB Games, I'm a little worried about that at this point.
I'm not too worried. I mean, nothing. There were hardly any, you know, really prominent placements there. So I think that Crysis will do just fine. Especially since, you know, it has EA behind it. If EA can sell anything, if and EA can sell a game, so I'm not
sure.
I'm not
sell the Harry Potter games, well.
but yeah, it may eventually come to consoles. We have no information on that. All we know is that Crytek has said that they just plan to get it out on PC, and then they'll worry about other things.
Hey guys, Hojo the Great here. I have about $20 to spend, and I'm looking
Portal.
Through Steam right now, and I just can't believe how many good games there are, and I'm wondering what you think I should consider buying. I have pretty much every game in the Valve library, like Orange Box and all the Half-Life games, so not all that's out. But I look at games like the Deus Ex series and all the old Quake games, Psychonauts, Painkiller, Prey, Hitman, DEF CON, Darwinia. You see my problem? Obviously I like shooters a lot. Older games like Thief that I've been hearing about but I've never had a chance to play. There's just so many, and so if I could get a couple for, you know, like $5 each, or a one good game for 20, or a combo for 20. I don't know what to do. So if you guys have any suggestions, please let me know. Oh, and I have Peggle too, so don't bother telling me that.
good man.
I would say that if you enjoyed Thief, then you should definitely try out the original Deus Ex.
They've also got the Civilization series on there. All those are great. They got Shadowgrounds, which I reviewed. I gave it an 80 because it was cheap, and it was kind of a top down, almost Doom 3-ish. And it didn't look as good as Doom 3, obviously, but it was fun. It was just a little fun little shooter.
If you got $20, you may want to check out GameTap. You know, you can get a month's worth of all kinds of different games and just go crazy. How much is a month now these days?
$10, right?
15. It's $10.
$10. Hey, dude, that's 2 months of for an orgy of games that you can play as many
games.
Oh, back to Steam though. The game on there I love to recommend is XCOM. I guess in this case it's XCOM Terror from the Deep. I'm a huge XCOM fan, but if you're into shooters, maybe that's not your cup of tea. It's strategy.
I said try Prey if you haven't tried Prey.
Prey was fun, yeah. Fantastic. The multiplayer was just, I mean, it's gimmicky, yes, but it's a fun gimmick for at least a little while.
Yeah, I love gimmicks. I got nothing against gimmicks.
Hi, PC Gamer. This is kind of a rant, but I was wondering, why don't you guys put on, like, everyone's question? Like, last week, the podcast was only 50 minutes long, and you could have made it easily an hour and 5 minutes, like you usually do, and added more questions, because I've sent in about 3 questions, and none of them have been answered, and it really disappoints me. That's pretty much it. I hope you put this one on.
We get a ton of questions. I apologize to people who don't get their questions on the air. But we do get a lot of questions for this show. For some reason, one reason or another, we get a lot more for PC Gamer than any of the 4 shows that I produce. Just because the listeners are so dedicated and they want to interact, which is really cool. But
and we're cooler than everybody else.
There's that. But a lot of times we just don't get down the list, and maybe your question is queued up, but then, you know, next week we get a whole nother slew and we want to stay current. So it's really just, some of it is luck, some of it is, you know, we want to mix up the questions. So just keep sending them in, and one of these days you'll probably hit the nail on the mark and you'll get on the air, and that's all we can do.
And as for the length of the podcast, sometimes we run out of time in the office. We are on a tight schedule a lot of the time, and we don't have time to answer all the questions, so.
Hey guys, this is Derek from Southern California. Had a question I wanted to put towards Dan. There has been a lot of talk about cheating in games and what's really defined as cheating. I was thinking about it though, and I agree that in strategy games, yeah, when you're telling your friend or you're looking up a walkthrough, it takes away from the game. But in a more action-based game, like a FPS, let's say a friend helps you out by saying, okay, kill guy number 1, then 2, then 3. Well, sure, he's telling you kind of what to do, but you're the one as the player that still has to have the skill, the dexterity, the ability to go in and fulfill that. What are your thoughts on that? Do you still think of that as true cheating? Anyways, just wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit. All right. Love your podcast. Have a good one.
Well, and I don't think it's, and again, when I say cheating, I don't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. I just think it's just something that, you know, in an ideal circumstance, the way the designers meant this game to be played is, you know, one person playing it and you going through and figuring out the challenges they've put forth. I mean, if and they want everybody to have their own experience with it, not, you know, doing everything exactly the same way. So do I think it's, I mean, by the strictest definition, cheating? Yes. Do I think it's a bad thing? No. I just think, you know, it's not the way the game was intended to be played.
I actually think in many cases for shooters, having someone tell you beforehand what to expect in terms of enemies, even though you're still the one that's, you know, you're still using your own shooter skills to take them down, that really does take away from some of the experience, even, especially in more linear shooters where, you know, part of it is experiencing the spectacle firsthand of guys coming at you from all sides and not expecting a guy around this corner or a guy on that rooftop. If someone let me know when I was playing Call of Duty, you know, there are going to be four guys around this corner or behind this door, that would have taken away from...
Yeah, it takes all the surprise
the experience
out of it.
Yeah, exactly, going through the level.
Hey, PC Gamer staff, Phil in Colorado Springs. Quick comment and question. First off, Norm's right. If you buy a game today, and you're willing to go out and buy the best of the best in machines, quad core, top line, SLI system, you should be able to view that game at max settings and play it smoothly without having to wait 6 months to go out and buy new technology to come back to a 6 month old game and play it. Because in 6 months, there's going to be new games that you're going to want to play and not go back to a title that you could care less about at that point. Or maybe that you play casually once in a while. And then my question, do you know if there's going to be a PC version of Mass Effect? I recently read the novel, thought it was pretty good. Looks like it's going to be a 360-only title. I was wondering if you guys could give any insight on that. And lastly, congratulations to Kristen on becoming editor-in-chief. Thanks.
Okay, I'm coming out with gloves off here. So what these people are saying is, you would be happier if Crytek had just arbitrarily capped the settings lower than what the game is actually capable of,
yes.
Then you would have been happy.
Yes. That's what they're saying. Yes.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. Just play it. You know, try the default settings, which are medium or high, or you know.
But I can understand this. I mean, as a PC gamer, going back, you know, someone who's played around with my settings and everything, there's that top tier that you just can't get to, and knowing that you can't get to it for 6 months or a year, it just kind of drives you crazy, you know?
But you know what? Some people can. Some people can get there. Just like the guy who's still, you know, the guy who's still using his FX60, you know, is not going to have the same experience that I have because I was willing to fork up the money, you know, to get, you know.
For the record, I use an FX60 and I still play on very high settings. Sure, I take a frame rate hit, and I'm playing at 15 FPS and 20 FPS,
you know,
but that's acceptable for me.
You know, that driving to work is different for me from a guy who drives a Porsche, you know, but...
And also, for a game like Crysis where there is a ton of replayability, it's a different case. I mean, if it was a straightforward linear game, you know, say, Call of Duty 4... which actually, I would actually go back and replay that anyway.
I just think this is weird. You're saying basically what people seem to be saying is
they want less, not more. That's what.
Yeah,
they
you know, I,
they,
I
don't, they
to,
don't want less. They don't want to know that more
other
exists.
People are out there playing it, or that you know, I can't get whatever is whatever potential this game has yet. I mean, come on, just enjoy the game, enjoy what it is for now, or wait 6 months.
Yeah,
it's that easy.
Well, it does give
and
you a reason to upgrade.
Yeah,
you know,
said so, yeah. It only gives you more options to have that. This game is so beautiful at its top settings. You know, you can wait to buy it. You can upgrade. You know, or you can experiment with the settings. You know, I remember the first time I played Tomb Raider. You know, years and years ago, I played it something like between 10 and 15 frames a second because I was just so gobsmacked by the graphics. Was it the greatest experience? No.
Those were the days when we were so happy to be able to get a 3D car to run in the first place that we didn't even care what the frame rate was.
Mm. So, you know, I don't mean to go off or any, well, okay, I guess it did, but,
what was the second part of that question?
Mass Effect on PC.
Right.
Oh, yes.
It hasn't been announced, however, all of the, BioWare RPGs have eventually made their way to PC, so I, for one, am gonna wait it out.
Well, yeah, you take that into account and take into account several games which were Xbox 360 exclusive, such as Gears of War and Viva Pinata, have now made their way onto PC.
Yeah, if Gears of War makes it to PC, I think it's only a matter of time before Mass Effect does. And the only thing that doesn't really is Halo, and that's because Microsoft developed that.
Anyone else play Viva Pinata? I fired it up, but didn't really get it.
I'm going to give it a try, but I haven't started it yet.
I had no desire to play that game.
The original?
I'm just really is curious because apparently, you can feed the innards of your parents to your young pinata, and
that's how I grew up. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean that really explains a lot, actually.
What do you think breast milk is? Come on.
Pixie dust. Sparkle, sunshine.
I'll tell you what it's not. Organs.
I think they should put candy in cars so that when you have an accident, they call it the Mazda Pinata.
we have a bittersweet crash on the highway today. Lives are lost. Chocolate everywhere.
Yeah. You know, my initial reaction to hearing the concept behind Viva Pinata was the same thing. I guess Penny Arcade did a comic. I guess they had the same reaction I did, which was like some pinatas just being horrified at watching another pinata being beaten to death. And it's just the idea of anthropomorphizing an object that is intended to be hit with sticks until it breaks open, and then you eat what comes out of it. Just seems like a damaging idea for children.
I think it's possible that you may be overthinking it.
I mean, it's like Manhunt, and I played that and liked it.
But Manhunt is a kid's game. Viva Pinata is a kid's
Remember
game.
You took the little broken glass and right in the guy's orbital socket.
Did candy come out?
Well, no, but this like it was like, you know. Anyway, let's move on.
All right, here's the requisite career question.
Hey, guys, this is Sean from California. I just had a question. I, like many of your listeners, am a fan of games and PC games in particular, and I was just wondering the best bet, how to get involved in a career in gaming, whether it be writing or journalism or anything other, and more in particular, how each of you yourself got involved into the positions you are in now. I look forward to hearing from your answers. Thanks.
Well, let's see. I got my job by entering an ad on Craigslist.
What can you do?
It was a casual encounter
with
ad on Craigslist.
That's exotic. Yeah, that was the thing. That was one of Greg's casual encounters ads.
Wow.
He just showed up and got more he bargained for.
So no, at least at this company, we do traditionally post, or not traditionally, but we have in the past posted job openings on Craigslist, among other sites. So that's where I found mine. I had been working as an intern at a local newspaper in Mountain View, California, and I came in and interviewed and got along with everybody. So
he answered tough questions.
Yeah. Yeah, and I played a round of Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow and did not embarrass myself, so.
That's right, I remember that.
I saw my job posting on Blues News of all places, and I actually wrote him after I got the job at PC Gamer to thank him, because I never would have known about it otherwise, and there it was. Webmaster position, just down the street.
Where were you working before?
I just moved to San Francisco, and I was temping. I had no plans. So, and I didn't even know PC Gamer was out there. It was a real...
Oh, wait, how'd you end up in Chicago?
Serendipitous thing. Well, my wife was out here. She grew up out here. So we moved back here from San Francisco so she could be closer to home and I could start this company.
Chuck?
Well, I've been writing for PC Gamer since 1965, so I've been quite a while.
The heroin addiction.
Yeah, well, I was part of the hippie wave all going to PC gaming, but no, seriously, my first gig was over at PC Accelerator. I actually joined that staff when it was live as assistant editor, and how I got the job was actually it was kind of weird because they had a website and they would have like daily content going up, just funny weird stories, And they, the staff couldn't be bothered to actually come up with these stories themselves because, you know, they were busy putting out the magazine. So they had a call to everybody in the community just, you know, saying, hey, do you want to write one of these, fake news stories? Send it to us. If it's any good, we'll post it. Well, I didn't do anything. Next day, a couple of stories went up from this one guy. They were terrible. I thought to myself, you know, I can do better than that. And so I sent in a couple of stories. The editors really liked them. There just happened to be an opening on the staff, and so they said, hey, do you want to come in? And, you know, like, I was living in Austin, Texas at the time, so they were like, you know, do you want to come in, interview for the job, and see if you get it? And it was going to be a big move for me. I went ahead and I took a chance, and I got it. And in fact, Rob Smith, who was the executive editor at the time, told the editor-in-chief, Mike Salmon, he said, you know, right before Mike came out to meet me, because I was waiting in the foyer to go back and for my first interview, he said, as long as the guy isn't a Cyclops, we'll hire him. And so it turned out that I wasn't a Cyclops, and so I got hired, and then after I successfully brought that magazine down, I eventually went to PC Gamer, and I've been trying to bring it down ever since. I will say, though, that if you're wanting to get into this, first of all, you know, choose what part of the business you want to get into, because just saying that you wanted to get into gaming somehow, that's not very specific. You know, do you want to be making games? You want to be writing about them? They're very different things.
All his examples were about writing about games, though. I think he wants to be a journalist.
Oh, okay.
I think most people say they want to be journalists because they think that's the easiest way to get into the quote-unquote gaming industry.
And they're right, because we're slackers.
It's actually a lot harder, a lot more work than, you know, people think it is. And not necessarily a lot of fun all the time. A lot of my friends from college and high school who now kind of do some work with games, a lot of them started off as beta testers, a lot of them interned, you know, with PR, with marketing at various publishers around the Bay Area. And, you know, they're having a great time doing what they do. So, you know, and I think it's tougher to get into gaming journalism if you don't have any experience.
Coincidentally, we are looking for an intern right now. It pays next to nothing. And it would require
you pay us money.
next to nothing. You may get a free game here or there, and certainly some gaming swag. But if you are in the San Francisco Bay Area and you have, you know, time during the day to devote, it doesn't have to be full time. But, you know, we usually work a 8-hour day. If you're able to come in most of the days during the week, then please, you know, send us an email. Let us know.
And, you know, just to go off of something Chuck said earlier, if you see something Chuck has written that's really terrible and you think you can do better than that, you know, come on in, maybe we'll give you his job.
No.
I
will say this also, because so many people will send us samples and, you know, they think that they are writers. And, you know, it's not to say that they're bad, but they're just not quite magazine quality good. So, you know, make sure that if you think that you can write, go ahead, write up a sample, you can send it to us, or have people that you know read it. You know, make sure that you get a second opinion on this stuff.
And also, it's not, and if you do that and you send it in and we don't like it, it's not necessarily because you're not a good writer. It might be because, you know, the voice just doesn't fit in with our style. Not be too upset by rejection from us or anybody else. You know, just keep trying if you're really into it.
Chuck, Lord knows you shouldn't be upset about rejection from us.
Chuck, what email address should they use?
Well, actually, if you are interested, you can go directly to me. You can send it to chuck@pcgamer.com.
That's for the intern thing, right?
Well, you can send it to the intern. I think also editor@pcgamer.com also works. I think that goes to most of us.
One good thing about once you're in the games industry as a journalist is you're pretty much golden. It's just really hard to break in.
I think Norm's story of how he got his internship is pretty good.
Well, I killed the last Norm?
No.
the last actor to play Norm, yeah. No, but, but no, the real story.
The real story is, I found Rob Smith's phone number and called him a lot and sent a bunch of resumes in, and then.
And you complained about?
And I complained about Greg Viderman's review of Diablo 2 a lot and said that it was one of the poorest reviews I've ever seen ever, and wrote a lengthy letter.
I would like to reiterate that this is not an idea that will work a second time.
Oh no, yeah.
There can only be one Norm.
Don't try to call us a lot and complain about our reviews.
Yeah. Now, Logan, I don't even know how you started at Maximum PC.
I was actually working at a marketing firm before this, which was a horror beyond imagination, and wanted to get out of it. It was just at the tail end of the .com boom. And so we were going from .com to .com, listening to people crying and weeping and wondering how they were going to position their companies to fail a little less than they were before. And that's when I saw the ad for an associate editor, Maximum PC, which is one of our sister magazines here, Future. So I began to bombard them with writing samples. But the first thing I did was to run out. I'd already been familiar with PC Gamer and Maximum PC, but I went out and I bought a couple issues. I went to the library and I got some back issues, and I studied the voice. You know, what kind of, from what angle are these people writing? What kind of tone? What kind of language do they use? And then I tried to tailor my writing to that voice. And I kept sending more and more samples. I said, you know, they had asked for just a few, and then they did a quick, tech quiz over the phone. But I said, you know what? Why stop there? How many more do you want? Do you want more game reviews? Do you want me to do reviews of components, sample stuff? So study the voice. You know, you want to mirror the voice of the magazine, because then they know whether or not you're going to, you know, fit in. And that's how I got the job.
Yeah, that's not just for us. That's for any magazine. You know,
yeah.
Really, you should do that. And I, you know, I have to agree, be persistent. Especially with me, because I receive a lot of, you know, emails about stuff like that, and I'll get writing samples, and sometimes I'll forget about it. And, you know, anybody who's listening to this who I've done that to, I apologize now in advance, but, you know, resend it to me, if you haven't heard anything from me on it. You know, I will eventually get to it.
We do get kind of buried in email around here, so.
And be realistic, you know, if you send something and you don't get a response, or, you know, I mean, like Chuck said, share it with other people, be open to criticism, you know, ask people, you know, what do you really think about my writing? Show them the magazine that you want to write for, show them your article, have them compare it. And, you know, if this is something you really want, take a writing class, you know, to get better. You know, you can learn to do anything, and you can learn to do it well.
You're not an old dog, are you? Because if so, that could be a problem.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to say I love your podcast. I've been listening to it for a while. I listen to only two other podcasts. I listen to yours, and I listen to Keith and the Girl on This American Life. And I thought the last week someone called in, and they said they talked about the bleeps. I thought you guys could do like a live show like Keith and the Girl does. It's kind of interesting, you know, have people call in and interact. Just a thought. Thought Jeremy could look it up or something. All right, bye.
I don't know. The last time I did a live show, there was a donkey involved, and I'm not going to do that again.
What? is that something that's possible, Jeremy?
I'm Googling live show.
Let's see. Don't do that.
Plus donkey.
I don't know. I see. There's
don't put Chuck in there.
$7.99.
Well, the way podcasts work is that it's all uploaded MP3s beforehand and streamed off the RSS. The way that we would do a live show is if we had like a shoutcast program. What's the program? Like, there are programs that will do it. We can look into it, and that could be, you know, something that we'll do in the future.
Make a great cat fantastic. That'd be sure.
There are some sites that allow you to do that aren't Shoutcast, but the quality is not very good. That's what I was going to say. Like, the nice middle ground might be a Skypecast, where we could get 100 people in to listen to us chatter, and then we can allow certain people to chat to you know, give people a voice every now and then.
And the thing with the live show is that not everyone. I mean, everyone's listening schedules are different, so people listen to us on their drive to work, at night, or before they go to sleep, first thing in the morning, over the weekend. You know, it's never the same time, so maybe 100 people at one time, that works for a good amount of them would work.
I don't understand exactly how that would keep us from bleeping out things, though, or wanting to bleep out things. Because I know, if it's a live show, I mean, there's still going to be, you know, young adults there, right?
Yeah, and besides which, it would then be posted online, and basically we bleep things voluntarily. It's not because we're told to. It's because we want to keep this show accessible, and we don't want people's mothers going, "What are you listening to?" and making them stop listening to it. Yeah, or making
the
noise.
Father of the PC Gamer podcast, of course.
Yeah. So we still, you know, speak our minds. We just just have to fill in the bleeps.
But actually, we don't swear. We do, in fact, bleep.
Yeah, that's true. Well, one of these days, we're going to have to start up that PC Gamer After Dark special podcast, though.
Yeah. So we should just, as a disclaimer here, we promise nothing because we might not have time to do it. We're pretty busy over here, so.
But we'll try.
I do want to do a Skype cast, and that would be fun, and that wouldn't change our schedule at all. So we'll look into that, hopefully do it in the next couple of months.
Plus, we could have that lead into a Team Fortress 2 game.
There you go.
Don't.
Fine suggestion, sir.
Don't promise things. The last several things we promised.
What are you, a politician?
We haven't delivered on the last several things we promised. It's
Hillary's
getting annoying. All right, that's about all the time we've got on this lovely Thanksgiving. We thank you all for joining us. For myself, Chuck Osborne, Logan Decker, Norm Chan, and Jeremy Williams. We will see you next week. And Jeremy, what's the number they can call to send us more questions?
That would be 877-404-1337, extension 724.
Plus, if you want to send questions the now old-fashioned way via email, it's an MP3 question attachment at pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com. Plus, go to pcgamer.com/subscribe if you want to pick up our fabulous magazine.
Enjoy your turkey, everybody.
I had not in recent memory.
Norm also fell for the Google TV gag.
What?
There was a video that resurfaced recently, which is a hoax that Google has a free video service that you can get into. If you send yourself an email, and you might have to do it 10 times using Gmail, and keep trying to click the Google logo, and if it turns into a TV, then you're in the beta.
Wow.
But it was a gag.
Wow. And hey, Norm, if you send this email to 10 of your friends, you will have good luck.
Also, there was a deal where if you start this email chain, Microsoft would, I think they would send you to Disneyland or something. I don't know.
It's like they're going to give you $10 for every person on the list or something.
Something like that.
And then every person they sent it to, you would get money too. Yeah. It was like this giant pyramid. It's a great scheme.
Pyramid. I love pyramids. Happy Thanksgiving.
Ho ho ho.
Wrong holiday.
save the celebration for the podcast, folks.
I need outtakes.
Yeah, okay. Whoa! Was that racist? What? I thought it was a turkey on jihad.
Oh, God.
No, that was one of those turkeys from the South Park game. Do you remember the South Park
game? Or the South Park
on our cover.
TV show.
Yeah.
It's Hojo.
I would say that if you're a fan of the
answer this question
because
he kicks too much ass in
Team try out
too.
Deus Ex.
Whoa. One at a time.
Deus Ex, you should definitely play.
Wait a minute. I can't hear anything
all of a sudden.
Whoa. Wait, did Jeremy cut off?
No, I'm still here. Can you guys hear me? Hello? I'm emailing a file at the moment.
Right on.
If it's going to screw up the sound quality. Hold on.
Is it a squirrel file?
No, it's your deflowering from last night. Will didn't get it.
Deflowering?
Oh, that. Oh. Right.
Yeah, Did it finally happen, Dan?
No. There's a horrible, horrible website. Do we have one more question? I feel like
that was a good one to end on.
Can we do one more?
Sure.
Wow.
Can we?
Please.
Hey guys, I just wanted to say I love your podcast. I've been listening to it for a while. I listen to only two other podcasts. I listen to yours and I listen to Keith and the Girl on This American Life. And I thought the last week someone called in and they...
What are you guys talking about?
Logan says
Logan stop talking.
Can you hear us, Logan?
Uh-uh.
Logan's sound seems to have died on him. Did you mute something?
He stood up.
Logan might set the flame.
Oh, did I step?
Now. You know what?
Logan step unplugged escape. Something, Han. Can you hear us now, Logan? Oh, I heard a plug. Oh.
I didn't know what happened.
Oh, wait.
Can you hear us now?
Logan.
We can hear you, but can you hear us?
Now suddenly I can hear your voice a little more. This is weird. I don't know what's happening. I mean, if you can hear me, that's fine. I mean, I'll just
we can hear you fine.
Well,
we can
hear you. But you got to hear the question and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, I can.
Oh, you can hear
I mean,
me?
If we're, I
can. You can hear Jeremy, right?
I can barely hear all of you.
Turn up
you
your
turn
volume.
Turn up your volume.
Huh? I mean, everything's. I mean, if
hurry
anything
up! I
gotta
go home and play Assassin's Creed. Hurry up.
Maybe he is an old dog.
Is it?
If anything's going wrong, I wouldn't be able to hear you guys at all. If it was like my thing was unhooked or something.
Right.
No, I didn't touch anything.
All
right. How about now?
Oh, whoa.
Better?
How does it sound now?
Yeah, it's fine.
How about moving the volume on...
Dude, I didn't touch the volume. How could the volume have moved itself?
All right, let's continue. Right.
Anyway.
Here we go.
Anyway.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to...
This has been a great experience for me. Thanks, everybody.
I gotta go back to my family.
Okay, bye.
You have a family?
I'm an orphan.
Oh.
Thanks for rubbing that in.
Yeah, Norm was actually purchased by the company.
That's horrible.